Thank you, Bobby. Monica, you said it a little bit ago, sometimes repetition is a good thing, is a mother of, yes, because you're going to hear some of the same things over and over and over again, and that's part of what we're trying to do, is reinforce some of these tips and to help you gain employment, secure employment. That's the purpose of all of us being at this table. That's our goal, is to help you get there. So as I said, I feel so privileged to be part of this panel. I've long admired the work of everyone sitting at this table, other than Kristen, just having met her, but knowing how Wells is approaching this and how they're there to support you, we thank you so much for that contribution. So I'm going to try to tie some of all these things together, maybe be a bit redundant in some cases, but to tie it all together, because I want to remind you of a few things that are so easy for us to forget. We overlook them. And actually getting a job, securing employment, is a combination of a lot of little things that we forget about. So I'm going to kind of remind you of some of those little things that can make the difference to taking the job interview into an actual job offer. So even though this may be redundant, I can tell you that our human resources director frequently reminds our workshops that your interview starts the moment you press that submit button on your computer. It absolutely does. Before, you know, Kristen was talking about all those resumes that she's going through and how she's trying to sift them out, and some of the little things can make such a difference. For instance, your email address. I can tell you, unless you're applying to a tattoo parlor, do not have Big Daddy Tattoo as your email address. It's the beginning of your interview, and they're making an impression. You're making an impression on them right away. And one of the things that, I've been a recruiter more than 35 years of my life, so I can tell you how exasperating it is when I see a telephone number. Their resume impresses me. Remember Kristen was saying, your job is to get the interview, but you're likely to have a telephone call before you have a scheduled interview in person. That telephone call, be prepared. I'm just giving you as a suggestion. I know some people are against this, but there's nothing more exasperating than picking up the phone to call you to even schedule a telephone interview, and I hear you've reached 818-634-7983. Leave a message. I have to sometimes look back on the resume to make sure, did I get that number right? When you're applying for a job, during that period of time, do yourself and the recruiter a favor. Use your name. You've reached Kate Williams. Please leave a message. It can be that simple. Make it professional. Also remember, when you're putting that telephone number on there, don't have music playing in the background for 15 minutes. Chimes, you know, your little, and no one loves your baby. I mean, your baby is wonderful to you, but if I call someone and I hear a goo-goo and a gaga and on the other line, end of the line, I'm not impressed. Mm-hmm. You may love your baby, but I don't know your baby, and it's not helping you get a job. So your telephone number, please use your name and say that you'd be please leave a message. I will return your call as soon as possible. Make it simple. Recruiters don't like to listen to a lot of information. They just want to leave a message. We're interested in talking to you. Please call us back. If you receive a phone call to have a telephone interview or to schedule a telephone interview, remember the impression that you make immediately before you even see the person is if you're on a bus or if you're walking down the street and you're on your mobile phone and the phone rings and you pick it up, you'd be far better off in letting that recruiter know, I'm so excited about getting this phone call. I read the position description. I want this job. I don't care how you explain your enthusiasm. Let them know. But then you may say, right now I'm on a bus, or right now I'm out on a walk. And so would it be all right if I call you back in 5 minutes? It's much better than having your phone call dropped or hearing wind in the background. Do you not agree? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So be careful. That's before you even have an interview. Mm-hmm. If you're making that impression, hit that submit button. You're already in the queue. So make certain that information that you have on your resume, and this is what Monica and Kristen are going through, will be going through with you. It's what kind of information. I know it sounds redundant, but make sure that every single solitary word is spelled correctly. no grammar mistakes. The way in which you format your resume is extremely important. If I'm opening a resume and I see something in different fonts or nothing's lined up, I immediately know you don't pay very much attention to detail. I know that this is a fact. The second they open that resume, you've already made your first impression. So,
Okay, this is Dick. I just wanted to jump in for a minute. Now, this room is full of blind people. And I think sometimes people use blindness as an excuse to not prepare visually appealing resumes. Don't use that as an excuse, because you're responsible for how your resume looks there. And that's really, really critical. It's your production. Doesn't matter, you know, if you didn't have the time to have it, you know, looked over carefully, doesn't matter if anything else, the people who are receiving it on the other end want it to look nice. And so this is one of the ways in which having sighted friends, sighted family members, not the kind that tell you you're the smartest thing in the world, but the ones that can give you straight feedback, like, no, this resume looks like hell, you know, you got to fix it up, you know. You want those kind of people, you know, who are looking at your resume, people who are going to be tough and judgmental and say this won't work or whatever, have them look it over. Know something about print fonts. You know, who knows what Verdana is? Who knows what Times New Roman is? Okay, everybody knows Times New Roman because everything's in Times New Roman. But pick attractive fonts, you know, fonts that look nice, not the squiggly ones, not the other things, but pay attention to the visual aspects of it. And if you can't personally do that, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I can't fix my car either, but I go out and get somebody who knows how to fix my car to fix my car. Same thing with that. You know, go out and get somebody who knows how to make things look nice visually. Don't overdo it. I mean, you don't have to have multiple colors and everything else. My Lord, back in the 70s, people came up with the funkiest looking resumes, you know, you would ever want. So don't go crazy over it. Make it look neat and clean, but have it look attractive.
Thank you, Dick. So I know that Monica and Kristen are going to go through this again. Repetition is the
mother of all learning.
Mother of all learning. You're going to hear this more than once. So, I'm sorry? Yes. Can you speak up, please?
Yes, okay, please.
Yeah. Can you stand up?
Yeah. Please remember to stand up so we can hear your voice and, you know, speak slowly and clearly, and we will also repeat the questions so that the people who are going to listen to this recording afterwards can pick up on what's going on.
And your question?
For your email address.
Yes. Personally, I don't think it makes that much difference. Some people would say AOL is getting a little archaic. I don't think that makes that much difference. Do you?
Mm-mm, no,
no,
not at all.
We just want to be able to get in touch with you. And that's one of the best methods.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wrap it all up with those thank you notes because that is critical. Critical. It's not old-fashioned, not at all. In fact, it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Again, these are going to be all those little things that you might forget about. So have a pair of other eyes. Check out your resume, making sure that resume is clean, neat, no spelling, no grammar errors, and that it gets the point across, which is, again, being redundant because it's the content. Both Monica, Kristen, and Bobby have said how important it is to, you know, address, to know the job. So my contention is that the position description is your best friend, that you need to hold it close, embrace it, know everything about that position description. It not only helps you with your resume and how you're going to relate your relevant experience and or transferable skills to qualify for that job, but can also help you prepare for the STAR method. When you look through that position description, start imagining yourself doing what the job description is, what it's asking you to do. Start thinking about times in your life where you've experienced that, or that you have some transferable skills that would help you accomplish that, so that when you're asked these questions, you're prepared with your situation, with your task, with your action, and with your result. You can do this so beautifully ahead of time so that you're not caught like a deer in the headlights when someone's, tell me about a time when you had a contentious situation with a partner at work. Those are scary questions, but you can prepare for them by embracing the position description. I just love position descriptions. And you know, they've not been around forever. In the days where they used to post something in the newspaper, that's how people found their jobs. There wasn't an internet. You go to the classifieds on Sunday and you'd circle jobs that looked interesting. There wasn't a hint as to what those jobs were about. Now you have all the luxury of having a position description. So embrace them, love them, use them, because they're a key to being successful in turning the interview into a job offer. Prepare yourself for that interview. Oh my goodness, when Dick and I were kind of starting this project together, we asked people on the employment committee to write in suggestions about what they wanted to hear us talk about. Wasn't it interesting to see how many questions there are out there and how really very basic and simple there are, but we forget about them many times. One of the questions that, or one of the suggestions says that we talk about preparing for an interview. And yes, in fact, I would say that every time we are asked to speak at something, almost always people want to start with, tell me how to interview. Well, I would submit, first of all, that interviewing is being authentic and genuine, and you don't have to have every single answer right on. It's about them connecting with you. So remember that. Don't think that interviewing is something that's rote and that you can learn just by answering questions correctly. It's about being you and about knowing the position, reading that position description over and over again. But a lot of it is about preparation, about that impression. So don't forget the 2 nights before your interview, there is much that you can prepare for. This is the time that you select what you're going to be wearing. This is the time you make sure there are no rips in your nylons, or you don't have gravy from last year's Thanksgiving dinner on your tie. And that you make sure that everything is coordinated. You make sure that your shoes, your heels aren't worn down. There aren't holes in the bottom so that when you put your foot up, someone's going to see that hole. That's not attractive. Don't wear white socks. There's so many things that you can do before to get prepared so that you're feeling comfortable in that interview. Take the time to select your wardrobe prior to. And if you are coming to the breakout, if you want to discuss what kinds of clothing are appropriate for what kind of interviews, we'd be happy to go through that with you. Because it is important that you look neat, attractive, and yet comfortable. You need to wear clothes that you're not feeling awkward in. So a suit may not be the answer every time. So we will talk about that if you wish. The other things that you can do, I believe, is that come prepared with a portfolio. In my opinion, you look well prepared. You have everything that you need for that interview in the portfolio. Assemble it beforehand. So that could be 5 copies of your resume. In the event that the recruiter says, oh, we just happen to have the hiring manager here today. Surprise, surprise. Would you like to see him? You'll have a resume ready to hand that person. I also strongly suggest, even if you put it in Braille, or if you record it on your phone, however you take your notes, again, your position description is your best friend. Put that in your portfolio. However you access it, have it ready so that you can review that when you're sitting in the lobby. It's so important to feel prepared with confidence that, yes, I can do this job, and I can tell you how I can do it. That might be something else you put in your portfolio. We have so many aids today to help us get places, but still I'm suggesting that in your portfolio, you put your bus numbers and you put the times. Being prepared, there's nothing worse than being on the wrong bus, going the wrong direction, and the wrong time. You're going to be late. And that's the second thing that you've not prepared. If you go to an interview late, you're out. I'm sorry. I mean, there are things that happen, but it's a real telltale if you arrive to an interview late. So write your bus numbers down. Write the times that they're coming. and make sure that you have a couple of extra dollars in your pocket instead of the 20 that you can't get change for. Now we have Uber, now we have Lyft. Yes, they are a good alternative. You might want to consider not taking paratransit to an interview because you need to be there on time. That is critical. So plan that trip ahead of time, even if it means making a trip a day ahead of time to making sure that you know your route. We need to appear and express our confidence in our ability to go someplace and to be there on time. And if we're not there on time, and if we're all jumbled up inside because we've lost the directions, we're not making the kind of impression we want to make on that employer. The other things that you can prepare ahead of time in your portfolio, and you said it, thank you notes. Now, all of us can't do this because some of us have less vision than others, but it might be a good idea for you to consider addressing an envelope with a stamp on it prior to that and tucking it into your portfolio and then stopping on the way home if you're able to write a note on business, a business note paper, and drop it in the mail on the way home. How many employers receive a handwritten thank you note today? Probably not very many. How many employers are impressed with getting a piece of mail that's personal? Many of them. But we can't always do that, but you might want to consider that if you're able to address, pre-address an envelope, put a stamp on it, have the note paper inside, and when you're on the bus on the way home or in a coffee shop trying to relax, write the rest of that thank you note, drop it in the mailbox. It's going to be there the next morning, and it's really impressive. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to tag team you here a little bit. Buy little envelopes with those flippy cards inside, you know, those pretty things, you know, like when you get wedding invitations or you get invitations to parties or stuff like that. You know, when somebody gets a teeny little envelope like that, they think, party time! And so you they're already happy when they get this nice little written envelope. And it is okay if you get somebody, if you can't see really well, and you get somebody who writes nice, it's okay to have them, you know, write the note for you and sign, you know, your name, you know, at the bottom to it. You know, that will be considered very considerate of them. Always be appreciative. One thing people don't sometimes do is when they go in, usually there's a receptionist there. If you'd better treat the receptionist really, really well. You better be polite and thoughtful and courteous and all that kind of stuff and not pull out your cell phone and say bad things about the employer or anything else because the whole world is watching you. And, you know, if some people, strange as it may seem, some people mistreat the receptionist and then they go in and have an interview and the boss comes out and say, well, how's that person? Oh, God, he just acted like an absolute cad. You know, it's just really awful, you know. And so guess what? Yeah, you're a goner.
Thank you for that. Obviously, we're a team up here in the front. Everyone catching on to that? So we'll have multiple comments, and some of it will be repetitious. Bobby?
Thank you. I just wanted to make another point on the thank you notes. So something I didn't mention is I'll be starting grad school in the fall, so I've been applying for grad school, for scholarships, for this, for that, and I've been using a lot of references, and a lot of times job interviews ask you for references also. And just in simply sending an email, I would, you know, just say, hey, you know, you wrote an email for me when I applied for such and such school. I got in. I didn't get in. Thank you for your continued support. Something of that nature. I was blown away by the people that were so impressed by that. It's something that I took as second nature because I have an aunt that sends out thank you cards for everything. If you go out to eat with family and someone volunteers to pay your dinner, she's sending you a thank you card. She's one of those aunts that has all of the boxes with the cards for every seasons and all of this, and she's very serious about her cards. So I took it as second nature. And I recently had a professor who wrote a recommendation for me, and when I told her thank you, she said she writes probably about 50 recommendations a year, and she may get one or two thank yous. So just kind of think about that and just imagine that if that one little thing that takes maybe 5 minutes, depending on how intricate you want to get, just imagine those 5 minutes, like, truly making the difference in whatever you're applying for. You know, something that you don't really have to think a lot about. It's a no-brainer, but it pushes you ahead, so why not do it?
Yes, and I just want to add to that. I'm sorry.
I just had a couple thoughts. A couple things that I would recommend is writing down and keeping track of the positions that you're applying for, because I've had several occasions where we may call someone and want to schedule an interview, and the person doesn't recall applying for the position or doesn't know what company they're talking to. I used to be a recruiter at Principal Financial Group, an insurance company in Des Moines, Iowa, and oftentimes people would say, oh, is this the position with Prudential? And so it really does make an impression if you remember and or at least sound like you recall which position you applied for. Secondly, I do a lot of pre-screens over the phone, and it's so important to have that positive voice, almost like the recruiter can see you smiling over the phone. That just sets the tone for the conversation. So thank you.
Just making me wrap this up, as much as I hate to do it, you could tell that everyone on this panel is really excited about helping you get a job. I could say that all of us knowing, other than Kristen, I know everyone on this panel, and truly we're invested in assisting you. So take advantage of those breakouts today and keep sopping up the information. Take it all in, because it's going to, all that positive attitude, when you go out there and looking for a job, my dad used to say, attitude is everything. So today, be sure you pick a good one. It's a choice, people. We have a choice in how we go out and look for our jobs. So remember that and keep that, I'm not saying phony smile, but keep that positive energy and that smile on your face. That's that connection you're going to make with an employer that makes all the difference in the world. So I guess we're wrapping it up. I'm so sorry to see you all go. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today. We've so enjoyed having you here.